सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ So far, we have seen in the previous two verses, what happens is when somebody is, say, very new to Vedanta, does not have any kind of background, and if such a person or such people hear that the world is an illusion, because that's what we are saying, then if there is not enough maturity, there could be a lot of misunderstanding. So what happens is then this person or these people might think, okay, if the world is an illusion, then why not I just enjoy and indulge? It's an illusion anyways, so it doesn't matter. Then even my enjoyment is an illusion, so let me just enjoy. So to avoid that sort of conclusion, what Shruti says is that I recognize that you have desires, and I recognize also the fact that you're not mature enough to understand that the world is an illusion. So for the fulfillment of those desires, you can go ahead and do karma. And most people with common sense, that much they know that if I do good karma, the result will be good. Or in the previous two verses, Bhagwan said these people do yajnas for attaining the heavens, which is in the afterlife. But there also could be people who want more comforts. Heaven in this life, what is heaven? You see, understanding of heaven should be a place of comfort and happiness, okay, where there is no sorrow. So when I feel that money will give me comfort, then I will go after money. Big house will give me comfort, or a good place, a situation, a good friend, whatever that I think will give me happiness and comfort, I will work towards it. And that could be in this life only. I would want it in this life only. Okay. There are people, like I gave you the example of Nachiketa's father. Those who know that they are not the body and the body is going to end, but they think that the jiva is there and I want my jiva to enjoy afterwards. So I want the jiva to go to heaven. I should go, my jiva should go to heaven and enjoy. But even in this life, if I want to improve my status, which I think is going to bring me happiness, then karmas can be done. Okay. But then these results that these karmas give are always finite. We have also seen in chapter 2 where Bhagwan told Arjun that, Arjun, if you just fight this war as a duty, because it is your duty to fight, the doors of heaven will be open for you. There is nothing else to, like, you don't have to really do anything. From a lower standpoint, Bhagwan had said that it is your duty, you're a Kshatriya, you're fighting this war on the side, you're on the side of Dharma. So you just fight. For the sake of fighting, you fight. And even that is going to get you results. But then he added that, yeah, you are going to fight, then why not fight with a particular attitude which will give you even something higher than the heavens? Right? That goes for us also. It's not just for Arjun. It's for us also. There are a lot of people, you know, they are doing their duties perfectly well. There's the difference between them and for us as seekers, spiritual seekers or students of Vedanta, is there is doership over there. But they're doing good. They're following their duty. They're going to work. They're looking. So they will get the good results because they're doing good work. There will be good results. But then there are people who are probably know that there is something more, that there is something infinite, and I would like to go for that. And for such people now, Bhagwan has given this verse 22. Okay, that is the why this verse is given. We have read this verse last time. We go into the verse directly, and I told you last time also that we have to look at this verse from different levels, which we will do today. in this verse, there are four things that Bhagwan has said. One is ananyaha chintayantaha. The first two words, ananyaha chintayantaha. Mam, me. Then second is ye janaha paryupasate. Okay, so paryupasate is, the break is pari upasate. Pari is all around. Number two, that is. Third is tesham nitya abhiyuktanam. That is the third condition. These are conditions. Okay, so tesham nitya, those who are constantly joined with me. For such people, aham yoga kshemam vahami. For such people, I will take care of their yoga and their kshema. So we have to look at this verse. Now, let us start with Bhagwan Shankaracharya's commentary, because in his commentary, I've told you, he doesn't leave the thread of knowledge at all. So for him, as per his interpretation, which is absolutely correct. Don't think that it's wrong. I'm just giving you all the different interpretations. Ananyaha chintayantaha, he says, can happen only when one has realized this, his own self to be the self in all. Which means what? A realized person. Through jnana has realized that the substratum in me is the substratum in all. That, he says, is ananya is exclusive. Understand this word ananya. It will also in 12, we will say ananya bhakti. Here he's saying ananya contemplation. Chintayantaha is contemplation. So exclusively the one who is contemplating on me. Okay, that is the literal translation of that. Ananya chintayanto mam. So what Bhagavan Shankaracharya is saying is this exclusive contemplation can only happen when the person has recognized himself to be the Lord. Otherwise, it cannot happen. Because if he has not recognized, then there is some reality given. Maybe not as much real, but there is some reality given. So there cannot be this ananya chintayanto. Okay? Now, so this is jnana. Now, he has recognized. So for him, what would be the meaning of ye janaha pari upasate? It's people. Janaha is jayante iti janaha. That is the etymological meaning. Jayante means what? Born. Those who are born, they're people. And when we say those who are born, means they have death also. Anybody who is born has to have death. So it is not like you have to go and worship every person. Seeing the oneness in all becomes a worship of the people. So now this jnani, this realized person who has recognized himself to be the self in all, will he ever see differences in anybody? He can't. Okay. So for him, what happens is actually, ye janaha par, once the first number one condition is satisfied, the second is just following. There's nothing special for him to do. All right. Then tesham nitya abhiyuktanam. He is now only seeing the supreme reality. Where is the question of, he's already joined. Like there is no question of joining forever. He's already joined. Now the question arises, what exactly then does this person need? What does Bhagwan mean yoga? He will take care of his yoga. Yoga is what? Translation of yoga is that which I don't have, and kshema is protect that which I have. Now a realized master who has recognized himself to be the substratum, to be the self in me, is the self in all, has been recognized. Do you think he's going to want a house and a spouse and a material anything? He's not. So then Bhagwan is still saying, I'm protecting, I will protect, I will give him yoga. So in his case, yoga becomes his abidance getting deeper in that samadhi sthiti. Samadhi is, you know, it's like getting a driver's license. The first time you get a driver's license, can we call ourselves expert drivers? No. Practice is required. Abidance is required. A lot of driving has to be done after that. Before we can, even now I don't call myself an expert, but even, you know, there has to be time given. So same thing is with this samadhi. Samadhi is where he has recognized himself to be that substratum. The best example I can give you is Raman Maharshi. See, at the age of 16, in his own house, he experienced that bliss. Okay? But that didn't make him an expert. So for him, what was yoga? He had the thought of just leaving everything and going. This is what Bhagwan is meaning here by yoga. He didn't need an education. He didn't need a family. He didn't need anything anymore. He just gave up everything and went and he started meditating. So yoga becomes getting them deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into that samadhi state. And kshema means protecting that state. It doesn't mean protecting their belongings and bank balance and clothes and house and family and this and that. That's why when Ravan Maharshi's mother came and said, "You're my son, you should be looking." He said, "No, God is looking after everybody. Who am I to look after you?" So yoga and kshema for them. Because remember one thing, yoga and kshema is different for different people. And we will, of course, come to our level also because we are not at this level. So this is through knowledge. Now, through devotion, ananya chintayanto mam means this devotee, example, Hanuman, Mirabai, Tulsidasji, Surdasji, Sant Tukaram. In their mind, constantly there is only that Ishtadevata. They are not talking of supreme reality. They do not talk of substratum. They do not, devotees will never say self in me, self in all these things they don't say. But they say Krishna is everything. Mirabai, Krishna everywhere. Krishna is all. Krishna is, that's it. She never recognized anybody else other than Krishna. Tulsidasji, Sri Ram, Sant Tukaram, Vitthal, all Marathi saints, Vitthal, who is an incarnation of Vishnu. So ananyaha chintayantaha for a bhakta is thinking of his ishtadevata, which he's constantly doing anyway. So he's fulfilling ananya without any reference to substratum and self and all this dry knowledge kind of thing. No. He says there is duality. I love my Lord, but I'm only thinking of my Lord. But it becomes ananya chintayanta. Now, ye janaha pari upasate. Now for them, what is the worship? For them, the worship of the people is seeing their Ishtadevata in every person. So everybody that they look at, every object that they look at, everything, every situation that they look at, they say, "This situation God has given me, so that's fine. He will take me out of this situation. This person is God only, so I bow down to him. I bow down to him." Because in bhakti, duality is constantly maintained. It has to be maintained. It's not a question it has to be maintained. The devotee will maintain it. He will never say the self in me is the self in all. That is only a jnani will say that. Bhakta will not say. So for a devotee, janaha pariupasate becomes seeing the Lord in every person, situation, object. Because ye janaha pariupasate is seeing the oneness in the multitude. How you are doing it is up to you. So if you are a jnani, if it is a jnani bhakta, jnani realized master, he will see the self in all. If it is a devotee, he will see his Ishtadevata in all. Okay? Tesham nitya abhiyuktanam. A devotee is constantly joined to his Ishtadevata anyways. There's nothing joy. Because why? Because if you're constantly thinking of that Ishtadevata, obviously you're constantly joined to him. We see this in, all the devotees, Hanumanji, Sri Ram, whichever devotee you take, right? Now, what then is yoga and kshema for them? That is to be understood. Because they don't want money. They don't want material benefits. They don't want anything, right? So for such people, yoga becomes maintenance of their bodies. Body has to be, see, for duality, body has to be maintained. So whatever is required for them, they will get, and they know that, and that's why they don't worry about it. I can give you an example, will make this clear. One example is of Sant Tukaram. So Sant Tukaram, obviously he was very poor because you know what, all day long he would go sit in the Vitthal temple and do Vitthal, no work, no nothing. So his wife used to get very angry and she was a very, you know, she was a very irritating lady. So anyway, one day when she was telling him, you're not working, there's no money, there's no food in the house, this, that, etc., he went and got himself a job. So what was the job? One farmer told him, you just sit in my farm and make sure that the cows don't come and eat the plants, eat the crop, you know. He went and sat there and he went into meditation on Vittal. So all the cows came and they ate all the crop and he was doing Vittal. And then the farmer came in the evening and the whole field was destroyed. And he said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, I forgot. I forgot that this, you see. So now, of course, he got fired in one day. He said, you're fired because all my crop is destroyed. You this thing. But when Sant Tukaram comes home, his whole front porch is filled with grain, even more than what that field would have given the farmer. Yoga, taking care of is him, right? Because so he immediately calls the farmer and he says, please take double of what you lost, because there's more than double. And still there was so much left. So he stood on the road and every person said, come, take this. And all of it he gave away. So that protection of this becomes yoga for them. In Tulsidas ji's life, what is yoga? See, he started to write in Avadhi. He actually first started writing Tulsi Ramayan, it seems, in Sanskrit. And every morning that manuscript was disappearing. He would write one day in Sanskrit. Next day morning, the manuscript would disappear. So he didn't understand what was going on, why this was happening. So one day, Bhagwan Shankar came in his dream. Shivji came and Shivji said, if you write in Sanskrit, many people are not going to understand this. And that's why I've been taking your manuscripts. Every day when you write something, I've been taking them. So what you need to do is write in Audi so that common folk will understand, because this language is not a common Sanskrit. So he started writing in Audi. Then there were these thieves, of course, always the devotees have got enemies, right? So these enemies, whoever they didn't like him, they found out. So they sent thieves to steal the manuscript. They sent. And the thieves found that two young boys with bow and arrow were standing near his door. They didn't allow the thieves to go in. And he said, it's Ram and Lakshman. Because with bows, two people. Yoga, yoga and kshema, protection. So whatever they have is protected. And you, even in Swami Tapon Maharaj's life, we see that he was wandering in the Himalayas. He would like to just walk around. And one thief came to him and said, whatever you have, you give me. So Swami Tapon said, I don't have anything. I only have this shirt. You want, I'll give this to you also. So then the thief felt sorry for Swamiji and he said, have you eaten? He said, no, I've not eaten. So he said, okay, I've got one roti. We'll make half. You eat half, I'll eat half. Yoga. Yoga. Bhagwan is taking care of them. So he is jnani, but still bhakta is there. Because at the height of knowledge, devotion is there. At the height of devotion, knowledge is there. So from the top, from the uppermost level, there is no difference between knowledge and bhakti. Okay? So for a bhakta, he thinks of his Ishta Devata constantly. So number one, fulfilled. He sees all the people, he sees his Ishta Devata. Number two, fulfilled. He's constantly thinking of the Lord. So number three, condition fulfilled. Yoga is Bhagwan will now take care of. In the case of Janabai, Janabai was an old servant. She was the servant in somebody's house. And her job was to, you know, they go on the, put two stones, one on top of the other and they grind. Have you anybody seen this? Like there is a stick, wooden stick. There are two stones, round stones. And in between, they'll put the grain and then that, you know, goes. So that time they used to do like that. And she was supposed to grind this grain, I don't know, whatever amount per day. And she would constantly be saying, Vittal. And at night, she was an old lady, she would fall asleep. So they say Vittal would himself come and he would grind it for her. So in the morning, even though she had slept all night, in the morning there was all this flour. sitting there, right? So yoga, kshema, protection, right? Yoga, she didn't have the strength to do it. He did it for her, Vitthal. So this is how God protects them. Another example also I remember, there is a saint called Tsokha Mela in Marathi. He was of a low caste, Shudra. So, and a great devotee of Vitthal Bhagwan. But they would not allow him into the temple. That time they were not allowed. The Brahmins wouldn't allow them. And he had this great desire to offer Nevedya to Bhagwan. And Bhagwan Vitthal likes curd rice. That is his favorite. That, you know how every deity has their own favorite. So curd rice. So he had such a great desire that one night in his dream, Bhagwan comes and he feeds him curd rice. It was a dream, huh? But he's very happy. He thinks, oh, Bhagwan came. He's very happy. Next day morning, when they open the doors of the temple, there is curd rice on the lips of the idol. This is all true, huh? So the Brahmins, you know, the priests, they get so mad. And previously, Tsokha Mela had asked them that, please, I'll just offer this curd rice. They had not allowed him. So they think that he came inside the temple in the middle of the night and he fed Bhagwan. Actually, he is not. He was at his home only. So what they do is they say, you will be punished for this crime that you have committed. And you are now going to be tied to these bulls. And the bulls are going to run wild in the village, right? In Pandharpur, not village, Pandharpur, which is the place of, you know, Tirthakshetra, it is Vitthal Bhagwan's main temple is there. So he says, I have not done, I did not come into the temple, everything. They say, no. How did that curd rice get on the idol's face? So he stands and they start beating the bulls and the bulls don't move. They don't move. And nobody knows. And his wife is also there. Tsokha Mela is married. His wife is there. She's sitting and she's also a devotee of Vitthal Bhagwan. She's constantly praying to Vitthal Bhagwan that, you know, and then only she actually sees Vitthal Bhagwan holding the reins of the bulls. There's a book called Lives of Saints. That's why Lives of Saints, we must read. We must read this Lives of Saints. You know why? Even though we are so-called in the Jnana Marga, whatever theory is there in this Jnana is practically seen in the devotee's life. And that's where we can get that is a proof. A devotee's life becomes a proof of what is said in theory in all these scriptures that we read. So when we say Bhagwan comes and yoga and kshema, that is where you see that. She sees and then she knows that nothing is going to happen to my husband. Because Vitthal Bhagwan is standing there holding the bulls no matter how much they beat. And the bulls don't feel any pain because Bhagwan is there. So no matter how much. So they get tired. Draupadi Vastraharan, we know that, right? Bhagwan was there. They Dushasan fell, fainted, but nothing happened to Draupadi. So this is how Yoga Kshema is protected. So whatever is required for their maintenance, whatever is required to continue with their devotion, increase the devotion, and then it is protected. Now, Yoga Marga. In Yoga Marga, means yoga is Hatha Yoga, where people are body oriented and they are doing Chitta Vritti Nirodha. Chitta Vritti Yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirodha as per Patanjali, Rishi Patanjali, which is cessation of thought. In that, Ananya Chintayan Tomam is the fourth stage. There, they say that the mind has got seven stages in yoga. Those who are doing practicing yoga, you know, the eight things are there, yama, niyama. Those things have to, Ashtanga Yoga is there, right? So this Ashtanga Yoga, when they practice, then the mind, when they are practicing that Pratyahara, Pranayama, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, when they are practicing that, the mind goes through seven stages. And the seven stages are Kshipta, one is Kshipta, Mudha, Vikshipta, Ekagra. Fourth stage is Ekagra. This Ananya Chintayanto Mam is Ekagra Bhumi. They're called Bhumis or Bhumikas of the mind, stages of the mind, states of the mind. ekagra, then there is asausakti, which is non-attachment, padartha asambhavana, where there is absolutely no attachment to any object, padartha is object, padartha asambhavana, and the seventh is turyaga, which is the final nirvikalpa samadhi. So this ananya chintayanto starts at four, because four is maximum sattva, shuddha sattva, and it is a complete single-pointedness of the mind. So basically the yogi, the yogi practitioner, the one who is practicing this yoga, is has made his mind so single-pointed that it is not thinking of anything else anymore. All right? So for yoga, ekagra bhumi becomes the first stage. Ye jana pariya upasate is, he is, by making his mind single-pointed, he is reducing the differences. Why is our mind not single-pointed? It is not ekagra, it is anekagra. Right now our mind is anekagra, is the tip. Aneka is many. There are many thoughts that are coming in our mind. So our mind is dissipated. The thoughts are dissipated. But whereas when he is making it single-pointed, what he is trying to do is reduce the differences, right? Instead of 100 thoughts, now only one thought he is concentrating on. He's reducing the differences, and that is what is one meaning of ye janaha pariyupasate, is to see the oneness in the multiplicity. So he is practicing to make his mind single-pointed. So he fulfills ye janaha pariyupasate. Okay? Tesham nitya abhiyuktana is constantly practicing to make the mind single-pointed for the thoughts to cease. Chitta vritti nirodaha yogaha. That is the definition given by Patanjali Rishi. It's the second sutra in that Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. So cessation of nirodha is cessation. Cessation of thought is yoga. Now, knowledge, the knowledge that we know of, knowledge of physics, chemistry, is that, etc., that knowledge is with thought. Understand? See, I have a thought of how the chemicals work, or the physics, how it works, or law of gravity, how it works, or E equals MC squared. All that knowledge, external knowledge that I have, is in the form of thought. So when knowledge is in the form of a thought, it becomes objective knowledge. It is outside, the world outside, because their thought is involved. Whereas knowledge without thought, because why yoga is what? Chitta vritti nirodha means no thought. So knowledge, there is knowledge, because the substratum is sat chit and ananda, the chit aspect is there. This yogi now is trying to get that knowledge, or is already getting that knowledge without thought. And knowledge without thought is subjective knowledge, is knowledge of the supreme reality, because it is knowledge itself. It is not knowledge of. That is to be understood there. So because his knowledge is without thought, he is tesham nitya bhyuk. He is constantly joined to the reality. Okay? Yoga. For him, what is yoga? Because he's trying to make his mind more and more single-pointed. Going from ekagra to asausakti, the next stage, to the next stage, padartha sambhavana, and to the next stage, turyaga, that becomes yoga for him. Yoga is that which he does not have. Okay? Out of the seven stages, he has put in self-effort. He, up to four, you have to put self-effort. You have to practice. So he has already done that. He has practiced. He has come to the fourth stage. Now to take him further, Bhagwan will do yoga now, because he's fulfilling the first three conditions. By just the practice of yoga, he has fulfilled one, two, and three. Now Bhagwan says, now his yoga is in my hands. And for him, yoga is to go into the next stage, and finally into turyaka. And kshema is to protect. See, while doing yoga, and we heard this word in chapter 6, yoga bhrashta purusha. Arjun says, Bhagwan, if there is a person who is practicing this yoga, who is practicing this thing, he is actually referring to those stages. that a person maybe have reached ekagra bhumi and then he may naturally die. One thing is false means there could be natural death, or there could be dead due to accident or whatever. Or other thing is he could also fall from there. Means somehow people lose interest. We see that in the mission also. A lot of people, they come and they're very enthusiastic and all that. Then they suddenly lose. Then they suddenly again pick up also. So such a person, Arjun asks, what happens to him? Does he get, you know, like that cloud? The example he gives is a small piece of cloud. When it separates from the big one, it dissipates because it cannot sustain. So is that what happens to him? And Bhagwan says, no, he will pick up that thread in the next life. That is Yoga Bhrashta. So yoga here is not allowing him to become Yoga Bhrashta. Not allowing him to fall becomes yoga for him. Kshema, protection of whatever that he has done so far, that is protection only, na Bhagwan, because next it will remain with him up to next life, and somewhere in his further future birth, he will pick it up. Because for such people, they don't need material things. They're not after material things. So yoga and kshema assume different meanings for different people. Okay. Now, these three, we are talking about the highest person who has realized master, highest devotee. We give examples of when we say Hanuman and Mirabai and Tulsidasji, they are a caliber of their own. They are a class of their own. Yoga also, yoga practitioners also, they are a class of their own. We cannot even sit 5 minutes still for, you know, for any number of time. So the question now arises, what about us? Because we are not falling in there. We don't fall in there. So what about us then? Where do we stand with respect to this verse? Now, when I say we, again, in the general populace, there are again two kinds of people. Those who are totally ignorant, right? Ignorant means I don't mean uneducated or anything like that. Ignorance in Vedanta is giving reality to the world. That is ignorance, as per Vedanta. So reality to the world, reality to the body, giving rise to desires. Then because there are so many desires in the mind, giving rise to actions. So what is happening is he's getting into the cycle of desire, action, result, then getting involved with the result, and again creating more desire, more vasana, more desire, more action, more result. And this circle is going on. So for him, the 20 and 21 verses, okay, you go on doing karma, go on doing karma. And then we hope that one day you will mature to think that, you know, I did so much action, I tried for so many things, but still I'm not finding that happiness. So that is one class of people. Now for us as spiritual seekers, we need to understand what is Ananya Chintayanto Mam. So for us, what we can actually, for me, what I think is all three, not three, yoga I don't do. I don't do that much of yoga and all that. But we can have devotion and we are studying the knowledge, right? So Ananya Chintayanto Mam is for us to reduce the importance on the world, on the things that are happening outside, trying to get the mind more introverted. Because think about it. We are householders, we are working. So we are not at the stage of Santo Tukaram where it didn't matter to him. He went to his job and he kept on doing it. We cannot do that. Okay. So for us, and I've given you this example before, is we have so many passwords. Okay. If we have a name of a deity as a password. Okay. Any action that we begin, if we can remember the Lord before beginning it. And therefore, the most easy thing for us, and we have done this since our childhood, is get up in the morning, take a bath and light a lamp at the altar. So, because throughout the day, we cannot do this exclusive thinking of the Lord, but from the knowledge point of view, we can light a lamp, we can say our prayers in the morning, which means that we have invoked the presence of the Lord in our life for that day. And then during the day, if we can keep our mind on where our hands are, being in the present moment, if we really look at ourselves and think, you know, most of the time we are thinking, what am I going to do after this? Our mind is never in the present. It is always thinking about the past or going into the future. So if we can keep it in the present moment, then ananya chintayanto mam will be fulfilled. Okay, so we can in the morning and then at night before going to bed, if we can think of the Lord, say some prayer. We have our night prayers also. Dada Vaswani, you know, the Sindhi leader, he had gone for his lecture once. Then he said a very beautiful thing. He says that at night before you go to bed, 10 times you say, I am not alone, God is with me. That's the prayer he gave. He said, you before just going to bed, 10 times you just say that, I am not alone, God is with me. I'm not alone, God is with me. It's exactly the same thing, right? Because God is within me. So, ananya chintayanto mam, if we want to do, take your pick. These are various methods, you know, that you do all. You can light a lamp. All the passwords can be the deity's names. You can, you know, when you start anything, that's why even a grocery list you make, on top, if you write Om, you've invoked the Lord in that. Ananya chintayanto. Okay? So any letter, see, any email comes from Swami Tejomanji or anything, there is Om on the top. Anything that he writes, he will write Om and then he will start writing, right? So we can do that also. We can try to keep our mind in the present. Or think of your own methods. These are some of the methods. If you have a heart-oriented devotee, then every situation that comes in my life has been sent by God. That faith I must have. If I am devoted to my Ishta Devata, if I say that I'm a devotee, worry and devotion do not go together. If you're worried about something, understand that you cannot be a devotee. Because if you claim to be a devotee, you must have no worries. Because you must have the full faith that my Ishta Devata will take care of me. See, what happens to us is we don't have that complete knowledge. We don't have that complete faith. So we are, you know, we are very dissipated. We are neither here nor there. Sometimes we cling to this. Sometimes we cling to this. Okay. So instead of sometimes clinging, what I find is cling at all times to all things. This is what I feel. Have complete faith. Have the knowledge also that it is the supreme reality. There is name and form is false. In bhakti, name and form is not false. It is very, very, very real. Name and form. Because the minute the name is uttered, the form comes to our mind. So name and form become very real. Okay? Ye jana pariyopasate. The bottom line of this is seeing the oneness in the multiplicity. So try not to see the differences. I know it's hard. Okay? But for us, we have to just try. Because we are not completely ignorant. At least we don't like to think of ourselves as ignorant from the Vedantic standpoint, because we have been with the mission for so long. We have studied so many texts. So we can try to. The best I feel is, you know, where it doesn't concern us, don't get involved. Just don't get in. Because you get involved with every little thing and then the mind just gets all over the place. And then that, there is no ananya chin. Then you're constantly thinking of these and that and that and that and that. So one of the principles is that think, is this really related to me? Do I need to make a comment? Do I need to say something? Do I need to make a judgment call? So that way, try to reduce the differences that you see in this multiplicity. Try to see the oneness. And that oneness, again, if you're more head-oriented, then keep reminding yourself, the self in me is the self in all. The self in me is the self in all. If you're more heart-oriented, then say, no, that's my Krishna, that's my Krishna, that's my Krishna. So that way, that's why you have to know yourself first. Like, what is your orientation towards? And you can do both. There's no harm in doing both. I'm not doing yoga, but yoga practitioners, their whole thing is to reduce thought. How do you reduce thought? Is by not getting involved with so many things in the world, right? Because when you're involved with anything, the thoughts about that will come. The thoughts about things will come when you've put importance on that object or situation or person. If you don't give it importance, if you devalue the world has to be devalued. Why? Because it is an illusion. We can say that as spiritual seekers, we know that. And therefore, the entire world has to be discounted. You know, we get discount, 20% discount, 30% discount. For the world, we have to give 100% discount. 100%. It's not important. Even this too shall pass. Whatever can help you, you must, this thing. If suffering comes to you, you must understand that it is for your purification. See, there's a dirty now laundry we do every week, right? We are putting the clothes through laundry machine. Do you know how much it spins and churns and this and that? Are we punishing the clothes? No. Our ultimate goal is to make them clean, is to purify them. So when we go through suffering, maybe physical, maybe mental, we must understand that God wants us to get purified. So he's putting us through the washing machine. This is Swamini Shivaprayananda had come to Bombay when I had just joined the course. And it's not easy to do the two-year course. Mentally, I mean, it is hard. People are falling sick also physically, but mentally it is very hard. And first I couldn't understand why, you know, Swami Shantanandji told me that everybody is spewing poison and only you guys are there. So whatever poison is coming out, it's coming on you only. Whereas what he meant was, suppose if I'm at home, if somebody says something to me, I can discard them. I have got TV, I've got other friends. There are only 40 of us. So everybody and everything is falling on us. And then Swamini Shivaprayananda came in. She said to me, it is like going through the washing machine, Jaya. So when you come out, you'll come out purified. So now you have to go through that churning. It churns. The mind churns. I have experienced it for 18 months, right? It's not easy. But what happened to me and what happens is I've stepped out of that ashram on the last day after graduation. And all of a sudden, my mind was at peace. It just stilled. And it didn't matter anymore that I had, you know, gone through whatever that I had gone through mentally. It didn't really matter anymore. So it was literally like coming out of a washing machine. It was a purification. So that understanding, if we have, then I'm fulfilling these conditions. Tesham nitya abhyu. I'm fulfilling that condition because whatever has come to me is because of God's will. We have seen in Keno Upanishad, even a blade of grass, Bhagwan says, doesn't move. How I can get so sick without his will? That is, his will is there. If through bhakti, this is the attitude. Through karma, if you're a karma yogi, then know that you only have done those actions. Right? So that again becomes teshamabhi. If you're a jnani, then understand the body is false anyways. So what are you worried about? You're not the body. You're somebody else. And no disease can touch you. No suffering can touch you. It is for the body. Everything is happening to the shadow. What is there to worry about it? So whichever way, if you can think in this way, any one way you take or all the ways you can take, you can say, I'm not the body. Whatever is happening to the body. You can say, God has given me this. Okay, I accept. And if God is the one who is giving me the suffering, then God alone can give me the strength. So I surrender to the Lord. You can surrender bhakti. Or you can say, this is my karmas that have come now to, you know, to haunt me. So there's nobody else to blame. My own actions have come back. Every time we think in these terms, then we are fulfilling this three conditions. Now, yoga and kshema for us, the first thing here that we have to understand is God is a well-wisher. He's not a wish fulfiller. What I think is God did not fulfill this wish of mine. God is bad. don't I? Why me? But God is not there to fulfill our wishes. God is there to help us evolve. So whatever is required for our evolution, He will give us. That is yoga, that we have to understand in our mind that, because you see, yoga, you know, as many people, that many different yogas will be there. In the sense, yoga means that I don't have. So I don't have money. I want money. Somebody else doesn't have education. Somebody else doesn't have a house. Somebody else doesn't have a spouse. Somebody else doesn't have a child. Somebody else doesn't have a son. So they are also unhappy. Are you got a daughter? No, no, no. But I want a son. Somebody else. So, you know, someone has got parents or somebody else has no parents. So yoga is like as many people, that many yogas will be there because each one. And another point about this yoga is, I might think it is good for me. Somebody else will say, no, it is not. Or I might think this is not good for me. And somebody else thinks, why is she thinking like that? That's weird. That's good for her. So what I think, you know, there's a saying, if one man's meat is another man's poison. So what I think is yoga. In my own stage, I think that, you know, if I have more time to study and read and all, I'm very happy. I don't have to go for parties. And then I have some friends who think, why she won't go? Why she doesn't go for movies? Why she doesn't want to socialize? She doesn't want to give a party at home. She went into, people have said, you know, I'm like, no, that is not my life anymore. But they think that is what will, so everybody thinks. Now imagine people are thinking in different lines. How will God think? Like I am, what I think is yoga, maybe God doesn't think it is yoga for me. And then I have to have the faith that God is Sarva Shaktiman and all knower. He knows the big picture. So I have to accept what He gives me. So yoga, God, yoga is what I deserve, I will get, not what I desire. Gurudev has said this, you get what you deserve and not what you desire. So when I do not get something which I desire, I must not be upset at God. I must not be, you know, I must think like this. And again, different levels of thinking. So at the highest level, okay, if I'm asking for some worldly, the world itself is an illusion. So whatever from the world I get is an illusion, knowledge. Bhakti, this is God's will. This is what I'm supposed to have. Bhakti. Karma, this, that, to get, I have planted a karela ka seed, you know, bitter gourd. Now I'm expecting mangoes from it. There's no way. There's no way. So understand that, okay, if I got this bitter gourd, then I planted seeds like that in my past. So that's why I got it. So leave it to God, basically. Whatever comes, accept. Accept without complaints. Doesn't mean that you don't have to do anything. Like if there is any kind of physical, of course you alleviate it. If there is surgery, if there is whatever you do. But understand, kshema is protection of that which I have. So for us, what should be the protection? What should we ask for as kshema? Is whatever studies that I'm doing, protect my time, protect my intellect, that it stays with this knowledge. That sort of kshema we must ask for. Not like protect my bank balance and protect my mutual funds and let my, you know, funds not go down and these, those kinds of things. As spiritual, the ignorant people will ask for that. Those who have given reality, they will ask for that. But as spiritual seekers, we must think. We must think. And that is why this yoga and kshema, it changes. So, and have faith that whatever comes, and accept. So that from our, this is from the spiritual seeker's point of view. Okay, so this is a very important verse in this chapter. Even before there was one or two verses which I told you, and this, and that was the heart. And now it will be very, very easy. And we'll be going quite fast. Let me see my notes here again. Yeah. So yoga is knowing that devotion is possible only by His will. Even see devotion, like don't think that I can just be a great devotee on my own. knowledge is possible by His grace. If I'm doing yoga, the single pointedness of mind, the purification of mind also is by His grace. So basically in all three, what is needed is surrender of individuality. The thought that I am such a great devotee, I have got so much devotion, I have got so much faith, I have got so much knowledge, that individuality has to be reduced. Ego has to be neutralized. Okay? And that neutralized ego, we need it protected. Shema. We have neutralized it, but you don't know when it will come back again. Only in a realized master that ego is completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. And therefore, I told you, even for a jnani, like they go into samadhi, it's like getting a license. Then they have to practice, practice, practice. So that way. I hope whatever I said has made sense.
Yeah.
Okay, if you have any doubts or concerns or this thing, please ask.
I don't know how to do it.
Very detailed. It gave me great pleasure to like think about this verse. Okay, another thing about this is very often quoted. You know, there are a few verses that people all, one is chapter 2. Karmanne vadhikaraste ma. Okay, so now they don't know the full, they'll say karmanne vadhikaraste, right? Only that bit they'll say. Okay. And then in this verse, they'll say yoga kshema vahamyam. Only that part they'll say. They will not say the first three conditions. Then, you know, only part of it. Bhagwan said yoga, then why he's not giving me this? But without the understanding, okay, have you fulfilled the first three? Because first three you fulfill, nah, then evil. Then what happens is, see, when we fulfill the first three conditions, we ourselves get a clarity on what is yoga. Because in our ignorant state, I think yoga is that which I physically don't have. So I don't have money, I want more money. I don't have a promotion, I want a higher post. I want a bigger house. I want a bigger car. I want a bigger this clothes. So that is. But as we go on studying and developing our bhakti, devotion, because we should do everything simultaneously. So when we do karma yoga, not just karma, right? Without doership and all, then we ourselves will start understanding what this yoga actually is. You know, what I don't have, I will get a clear understanding is, do I really need this that I'm hankering for, or am I just going for it, right? And also there'll be clarity. You know, truly, I needed this and God gave me that. So I must not complain about this thing which I didn't need as much. So that sort of clarity in the intellect will come as the mind gets more and more purified. And purification is developing more and more sattva. So the more sattva is there in the mind, the understanding will be more clearer. Understanding of all these concepts will be clear. What is yoga kshema? This is very often quoted. Bhagwan said yoga kshema vahamyam. Bhagwan said, yeah, he said it, but why are you not telling us what he said before that? Like karmane vadhikaraste. After that, ma phaleshu kada, nobody result, no way. I have a right to do action, then I have a right to the result also. That is how they will take it, you know. So it can't be like that. Okay, I will stop here today and we will go on to the next. Any questions?
Yeah, G, just a little question. I understood clearly what you were explaining. It's a very detailed, in-depth explanation for different levels, people who are at different levels. So that is great. I have only one doubt. When I'm trying to think at the level of knowledge, say thinking that this is just happening to my body and I'm not my body. And then I'm trying to think about from the level of devotion, I'm trying to think this is all the will of God. Mm-hmm. Now I know that when we go to for the highest jnani, there is automatically devotion. And for the highest bhakta, there is automatically.
Correct. No.
But for someone somewhere very low,
yeah. Like us.
It's both. isn't it negating one? Isn't it conflicting when you are thinking like in two different ways? Is it not conflicting?
Conflicting in what sense? Because if you say that this is the will of God, and for knowledge you're saying that this is false, is that what you're saying?
Well, from the knowledge level, we are thinking that I'm thinking that this has happened to my body and I'm not my body.
Okay.
So why should I bother?
They are not conflicting. No. That's why one thing is, if you clearly know where you stand, then hold on to that one alone.
If
you're a bhakta, then your body is real. Name and form is real. I told you in devotion, right? So then you hold on. And if you are from knowledge point of view, then hold on to that. But as you proceed in your sadhana, there will be no conflict. That's why I told you, at the highest level, knowledge and bhakti, there is no difference. Yeah. There is oneness. All the devotees knew their oneness with the Lord. I told you that story of Hanuman, right? He was asked, what are you? At the level of the body, I'm your servant. At the level of the mind, I am your devotee. But from the highest level, you and I are same.
Yeah.
So we have to also reach that stage. Yeah. That's why at one stage you feel like that. But actually, no. If you just don't think of it as conflict, say this is God's will, and the thought that comes to you that I am not the body, consider it to be God's will as well. Because without God's will, thought also cannot come.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember that. In chapter 10, when we do chapter 10, there he says, I am behind every vasana. I am the vibhuti. My vibhuti is your vasana, your sanskara, your impression is my vibhuti. It has come from me. So if the thought is coming in your mind that I'm not the body, it has come from the Lord. And it is the Lord's will that that's why the thought is not coming to so many people. They think they are the body, right? So we know. So don't be afraid. Don't think it's a conflict. It's okay. Practice that till you get more and more firm. And always the best thing is also always remember that whatever is coming to us is my own doing. Then there'll be no blame. No blame. Yeah. He did. Even when we have an accident, I've said that, you know, even we have an accident, it's not our fault at all. Okay. Somebody comes and just hits me from the rear. But you have to understand that the experience of getting hit, I have ordained that experience. So he only has become an instrument to come and hit me. I had to get this experience because I have done some sort of action before. And therefore now, without it being my fault, complete any at all, no fault of mine, this person has come and hit me. So in that situation also, another thing about Ananyachit is you go on saying thank you, Lord, in everything. So in that situation, you can say, thank you, Lord. At least my insurance payments are not going to go up now. But that experience, I ordained it. I called for it. I asked for it because I've done those. So there is no blame on that other driver from the spiritual. Of course, in ICBC, you go, you tell them, no, Eve is fault. No, you don't say that in the transactional world. In the transaction, you're going to go say, no, it's his insurance. And now you give me your phone number and all that, right? But in the spiritual, this thing, so there's no need to get angry. Yeah, I'm going to call ICBC. You're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for my car. You're going to, my insurance is not going up. All that is transaction. But with peace, not with the agitation. That's what this knowledge will bring, peace. Because now you're looking at it from two different angles, right? Transactional world, you do whatever is to be done. But from your spiritual background, you say, it's not his fault, but this experience I had to get and I've gotten it. And now I've exhausted that experience. So without getting attached to it, when you exhaust it, then you're not creating another vasana for yourself. You know how this cycle goes, right? There's a vasana, comes as thought, executes as action. And in that action, I connect with that action by way of like and dislike, right? Or I get involved with the result. I want this result again and again and again. And so I create vasanas. But if I just two ways of exhausting vasana. One is at the thought level. You abort it at the thought level. Vasana is exhausted because it appeared as a thought. Vasana got exhausted. Now you aborted the thought. So everything is all gone. But if it comes out as action, don't get involved in the action. Involved means you do the action, but mentally don't say, I like it, I don't like it, I hate it, why did I have to do this? All those things are not required. That way you do that. So that's why it is not, there is no conflict.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. All right, anything else? Okay, we'll meet next Monday. We will continue with this chapter. Okay. All right, I'm going to say the prayers, closing prayers. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Okay, Hari Om everybody.